Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to continue with an article that we started from AARP, the magazine, Lisa's Big Bargain Shopping Adventure. AARP's bulletin, Shopping Whiz, reveals how she found deals in unexpected places and how you can too. Let's look at sample sales. If you crave designer clothing, accessories, and home goods, there are no better bargain hunting grounds than sample sales, pop-ups where high-end brands unload excess merchandise. One cold, blustery Tuesday in April, I spent the day running around New York City to see what they're all about. I started at La Costa on the first day of its sale. Outside, it was like the entrance to a nightclub with a mob in front and a bouncer at the door. Inside, a guard made me surrender my purse and jacket, a common practice at sample sales. Handing over my bag made me twitchy, although I removed my wallet. But I quickly got over that once I dived into racks full of bargains. Overall, the discounts that day were substantial. A jacket that went for $240 on Lacoste's website was available in a different color for only $85. At a retrofit sample sale, I paid $49 for a black and silver satin blouse, 59% less than the lowest price I could find online. A pair of designer sandals I spotted at another sample sale cost $100. I found them online for $850. Although an item may cost a fraction of what you'd pay at retail, it can still have a jaw-dropping price. 60% off might sound great, but not when it comes to the earrings I fell in love with at a John Hardy sample sale. The original price was $11,000. How to find them? They're usually held in big cities. Check listings at chicmi.com. That's C-H-I-C-M-I.com. 264sample sale.com and timeout.com. Or search Instagram using the hashtag sample sale. Special tips? Go online beforehand for details, such as whether a sale is invitation only. Purchases are usually final, so no buying without trying, because there may be no dressing rooms where clothes that allow you to try things on without disrobing. I recommend a t-shirt and yoga pants, shorts, or a wide skirt. Now, before we go on to the next one, let's look at this sidebar article, Lisa's 10 Bargain Hunting Do's and Don'ts. Don't come unprepared. Learn the system. At Ben's stores, for example, prices may depend on the day of the week. Non-traditional retailers may have unusual store hours and might not accept all forms of payment. Bring cash, which can grease the wheels when you're negotiating. Do think about size. Bring a tape measure and a list or diagram with dimensions of your rooms if you're looking for items such as a dining room table, area rugs, and other home goods. Also, measure your vehicle's doors and trunk to see what will fit. Don't expect success. Merchandise can change daily or even hourly at non-traditional retail stores, so shopping can be hit or miss. The more often you shop, the better your odds of bagging a bargain. Do compare prices. Just because there are lots of great deals doesn't mean everything is a bargain. Visual search tools on Google, Amazon, and eBay make it super easy to find a match or near match. To use the tools, open the mobile app, tap the camera symbol in the search bar, and take a picture of the item. Don't get stuck. Check items carefully since they may be sold as is and be final sale. Look for return policies online and near checkout areas. Do be a follower. Many non-traditional retailers rely on social media to publicize new inventory. Don't expect neat and tidy. be prepared to sift through disorderly racks and piles. If convenience is your top priority, you're reading the wrong article. Do factor in delivery costs. If you're shopping for larger items, research the cost of renting a van or truck if you don't own one. Some stores offer delivery for a fee or can recommend a local service. Also, bring boxes, bags, and packing materials like old towels, blankets, and bubble wrap. Don't be shy. Negotiate. Remember, they want to get rid of the stuff. And finally, do check out deals online. Woot, W-O-O-T, Amazon Outlet, and Amazon Resale are great sources of overstock and open box items and deals. The craziest bargains I found online were at GovDeals, that's GovDeals.com, which auctions off government surplus, including clothing, jewelry, furniture, and cars. Now let's go on to the next suggestion, which is home and architectural salvage. Walking through the parking lot of Zaborski Emporium's multi-story warehouse in Kingston, New York, was like entering a long-lost world. A field of rusty radiators surrounded the entrance like guards at an ancient temple. The inside was loaded with floor-to-ceiling stacks of old windows, doors, lamps, toilets, tubs, home decor, furniture, everything, and the kitchen sinks. Salvage operations like Zaborski sell just about anything that can be removed from buildings and homes prior to demolition, making them great places to shop if you're remodeling or you just love antiques. They look like a cross between a museum and a flea market. Some salvage operations specialize in pricey antiques. For example, at Hudson Valley House Parts in Newburgh, New York, doors and lighting fixtures can run many thousands of dollars. On the other end of the spectrum is the Remix Market salvage store chain run by the junk removal company Junk Luggers. At one of these stores, I found a nice sofa for $200, lamps for $3, chairs for $15, and glassware and other lightly used home products for just a few bucks apiece. Items are sold as is at our final sale, but the cashier said prices are negotiable. How to find them? Visit the website remixmarket.com or search online for architectural salvage. Special tips. Many products are dusty or damaged, so be ready to use some elbow grease. And finally, there's monster flea markets. I can't think of a better place to go bargain hunting than outdoor mega markets. Brimfield Antique Flea Market in Massachusetts is one of my favorites. Billed as America's largest outdoor antique show, it brings together thousands of vendors selling everything from used tools to fancy furniture and rugs. I make a pilgrimage at least once a year to the market, which runs in May, July, and September. My house is filled with Brimfield bargains, including my $400 kitchen table made from a zinc tabletop welded onto an antique wrought iron base, and my collection of antique kitchen and mail scales bought for no more than $15 apiece. Other monster fleas include 127 yard sale, which spans 6 states and takes place in August, the monthly First Monday in Canton, Texas, and Scott Antique Markets in Atlanta in May and Columbus, Ohio in November. How to find them? Query Gemini, Perplexity, or another AI chatbot by typing in largest flea markets near me. Or if you're in the mood for a road trip, largest flea markets in the U.S. Special tips. Arrive early to get a parking spot. Bring empty bags for carrying your purchases, comfortable walking shoes, and lots of cash. Don't be shy about haggling, especially on the final day when sellers are eyeballing unsold items they would have to haul back home. This article was by Lisa Lee Freeman, who writes the Live Well for Less column in the AARP Bulletin. She was formerly editor-in-chief of ShopSmart magazine from Consumer Reports. Now I'm moving over to AARP The Bulletin and their cover story that we were reading, Living Solo, How Older Americans Are Embracing Independence and Redefining What It Means to Age Alone. And we're at number 4 on their suggestions. People on their own need social networks. Solo aging has its challenges, too. AARP survey participants missed having someone around to help with opening jars, household repairs, climbing a ladder, and yard work. Participants worried about being alone with an illness or an injury. In case of emergency, no one is there, one said. Afraid of a fall, said another. If you got sick, there's no one to provide help, said yet another. One of Lester Shane's top concerns for the future is the 3 flights of steps up to the rent-stabilized studio apartment he has occupied since 1973. There's no elevator. I just had a serious bout of sciatica, Shane says. Getting up and down stairs, carrying groceries, was difficult. I think about what I would do in the future if I can't get around easily. Without a strong network of family, friends, neighbors, and other caregivers, solo agers can face increasing difficulties, says Jane Lowers, an assistant professor in the Department of Family and Preventative Medicine at the Emory University School of Medicine. People aging solo are less likely to get all their care needs met as they get older, whether it's help with transportation, household chores, basic health needs, or mobility, Lowers says. Those little needs can stack up. If you can't get to the doctor, medical conditions or even vision or hearing problems may go undiagnosed. In a 2021 UC San Francisco study of 4,772 solo agers, 38% couldn't identify friends, family, or neighbors to help them with daily needs. When a major health shock like a heart attack, stroke, or cancer diagnosis arose, they were more likely to end up in a nursing home for a prolonged stay. No one wants to think they'll get sick and need help, but it's an inevitability, said lead researcher Shaw. To continue living independently, build a social network support that can help make a big difference. Catherine Martin, 74, of Kannapolis, North Carolina, has been a solo ager since the death of her husband 8 years ago. She has a serious seizure disorder and used to call 911 every time she felt a seizure coming on. I would lie on the floor until they arrived, says the retired textile mill worker. At $700 to $900 per ambulance trip, her medical debts skyrocketed, and she was developing memory problems. A few years ago, Elder Orphan Care, a faith-based organization that aims to support older adults living alone, heard about Martin's situation and offered help. Martin was matched with a volunteer buddy, Sandy Poling, 75, who negotiated payment plans with the ambulance companies and then worked with others from the organization to help Martin sell her childhood home and move into an assisted living center. Elder Orphan Care currently assists 35 elder orphans and plans to expand to 75 by the end of 2026. We're really big on relationships, said Janice Scheister, Director of Community Programs. Elder orphans are often invisible. There are a lot of people nobody knows are out there. Family may be estranged or live far away, she says. Friends may have died or have their own health issues, and neighbors may not realize the extent of their needs or rarely see them outside their home. One big and often unseen need, like Martin, an estimated 4 million U.S. solo agers have cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's disease or dementia, says Porta Coloni. Many lack an advocate who can help them go to medical appointments and manage their medication and daily lives, she says. And the next section is handling money is a major concern. Survey takers also felt the pinch of financial worries. More than half of 50 to 64-year-olds described their financial situation as fair to poor, as did nearly 40% of those 65 and older. Among their concerns, financial security, paying all the bills, and worrying that I will run out of money. Without a partner's income and assets, 63% of older adults in poverty in 2021 were solo agers, according to the U.S. Census. Since they don't share the costs of housing and utilities with a partner, solo agers are twice as likely to say their money doesn't stretch to cover basic needs. In a 2023 Mather Institute survey, fewer than half of solo agers had set up a financial plan, designated a health care advocate, or established a power of attorney. Compared with married people, solo agers were half as likely to have talked with anyone about financial planning, a 2016 Northwestern Mutual survey found. Solos don't see themselves as the people being served by financial planners. TV commercials are all about saving for college and weddings and leaving your children a legacy, says Alan Davis, a financial planner in Hadley, Massachusetts, who puts out a newsletter for solo agers and is finishing a forthcoming book with co-author Mary Young to be called Financial Planning for Solo Agers, Manage the Six Hazards and Thrive. They may be afraid and don't have a partner to nudge them, Davis said. Without the built-in safety net of a beloved one in the house or nearby, tackling the challenges of aging can be especially risky for solo agers with small incomes, says Paul Downey, the recent retired CEO of Serving Seniors in San Diego, California. We have 13,000 clients. More and more live alone, Downey says. We see people who did everything right. They worked and saved, but something happens. Sometimes an illness comes along and uses up their life savings, or their spouse has an illness and then dies or moves into a skilled nursing facility. Their partner is alone in a housing crisis that could lead to homelessness. It happened to John Conroy, 67, of San Diego. Despite a long-held hospital job, his retirement savings ran out, and a legal dispute over a townhouse left him homeless for a year. During that time, he slept in parks and abandoned buildings. Through Serving Seniors and other social service agencies, he got a permanent place to live in July 2023. It's wonderful for me, he says, like heaven. A long, independent life can pose challenges for the most resilient of solo agers. Mildred Kirschenbaum enjoyed decades of travel and, at age 101, a book tour. If you're up there in years, do yourself a favor, she says. Enjoy yourself. Don't sit home. But last spring, a bad case of the flu and a fall in her home left her homebound. Her daughter moved in with her. In spirit, however, Mildred is still a contented solo ager. Don't be afraid of life, she says. No matter how old you are, there's always something to learn. This piece was by Sari Harar, who is an award-winning reporter and a contributing editor to AARP Publications, who writes about health, public policy, and other topics. And we have some sidebar articles with this that I would like to share with you. Here's a solo ager spotlight. I'm the responsible one now. Joy Frank Collins, 50, Columbus, Ohio. When her husband was diagnosed with acute lymphoblastic leukemia in late 2022, Joy Frank Collins remembers thinking, I cannot be a widow. I don't know how. Her husband Ethan died in September 2023 at the age of 49 from a rare complication after a bone marrow transplant. Ethan was determined to be the best cancer patient anyone's ever seen, she says. We literally never expected him to die. The couple raised two sons during a nearly 24-year marriage. Ethan and I were just starting our second act, Frank Collins says. We were sort of empty nesters with our youngest in college and our older son starting law school. It took more than a year to begin processing her grief. You're in caregiver mode. Fight or flight mode. I'm still coming out of that, she says. But shortly after her husband's death, Frank Collins had to take charge of money matters and find a way to pay the bills on her salary alone. Ethan, the primary breadwinner, had taken care of all the family finances. He was balancing the checkbook up until the day before he went into the intensive care unit, she says. I really didn't know how I would figure it all out. One of the hardest things about aging alone is that there's no division of responsibilities whatsoever. I'm the responsible one now. Inside a folder of income tax documents set up by Ethan, she found a four-page list of information about their accounts, and advice her husband had left behind for his family. That advice gave Frank Collins the courage to move forward, including asking for a raise at work, and she got it. Now let's look at another sidebar article. Prepare yourself for solo aging. Take these steps to ensure your safety, happiness, and autonomy, says Sarah Zeff Gerber. I have been writing and speaking about solo aging for more than 10 years, prompted by witnessing friends and colleagues support their aging parents, taking them to medical appointments, managing their finances, stocking their refrigerators, calling them for check-ins, and doing much more. As a woman without children, I asked myself, who will do that for me? For solo agers, the answer lies in robust planning in three essential areas: financial, legal, and social. Financial. Live within your means. Create a budget in which your expenditures do not exceed your income. Working with a nonprofit credit counselor, a financial planner who works on an hourly basis, or another financial advisor can provide insight and guidance. Continue working as long as you can. In doing so, you will delay tapping into your savings, and your Social Security payment will continue to increase until it reaches its maximum at age 70. In addition, you can bank more money for future expenses. Plan for long-term care. If you do not have long-term care insurance or sufficient savings to cover future care, ask your financial advisor what you need to do now to qualify for government-funded long-term care in your state later on. Legal. Appoint a health care proxy. Authorize someone to make medical decisions for you if you are ever unable. Consider family members, a younger friend, the child of a close friend, a professional fiduciary, or a private guardian. Once you've chosen a proxy, have a detailed discussion about that person's role and your expectations. Give someone you trust a financial power of attorney. This lets that person, a relative, friend, or professional, manage your finances if you can't. Ensure that they have access to the passwords for your accounts. If it's not the same person as your health care proxy, make sure the two will be able to work together. And remember, these are the key documents solo agers need to avoid court-appointed guardianship or conservatorship. And finally, social. Decide where you will live. Explore options such as home sharing with a friend and senior living communities. Think about proximity to transportation, health care, and shopping. Stay connected and engaged. Get together often with friends and neighbors. Continue working or volunteer your time and talent to a cause you believe in. Practice good habits for your health. Choose doctors and dentists who respect your autonomy. Participate actively in decisions about medications, vaccines, and screening tests. Have your ears and eyes tested regularly. Consider joining a gym for both fitness and social interaction. And I'd like to share one more solo ager spotlight. This is Leon Christensen, 84, of San Diego, California. At 65, Leon Christensen crashed to the floor of his apartment. One minute I was fine, the next minute it was lights out, said Christensen, now 84. It was a hemorrhagic stroke, a bleed in the right side of his brain. Never married, the former music producer, computer programmer, and handyman had always lived alone. Nobody found me for 4 days, he says. Neighbors eventually found him and summoned help. I was taken to the county morgue at Mercy Hospital in San Diego, he says. Luckily, the night attendant noticed I wasn't dead. He regained consciousness less than a month later in the hospital and slowly recovered over the next year and a half. then lived with a friend before moving to a residence run by the Social Services Agency Serving Seniors San Diego. Here, he says, solo aging is the norm. Almost everybody is living alone, he says. Christensen describes himself as a natural loner who enjoys his own company, but also likes having friends around. He grew up on a Nebraska farm, then moved to Omaha at age 16. He relocated to San Diego because it's paradise. We have fine beaches. Family is far away. Most of my relatives are on the East Coast, and I haven't seen them in more than 20 years, he says. My parents and brother have passed away. The stroke left him partially deaf, legally blind, and mostly paralyzed. He uses a motorized wheelchair and has the use of his left hand. I'm a natural lefty, he says. A caregiver helps him with shopping, banking, and other errands. Serving Seniors San Diego provides meals every day. There's bingo downstairs, and his neighbors often visit. When my door is open, people know they can come in and talk. He says, I'm available. We also have this item, what makes them happy? When asked what brought them joy, solo agers said, spending time with friends, 63%. Hobbies and interests, 59%. Spending time with family, 57%. Religion or spirituality, 41%. Spending time with pets, 37%. Volunteering and helping others, 27%. Staying active in the community, 22%. And career or work, 18%. And for our next few minutes, let's look at some more money-saving tips. Test beauty products. If there's a makeup or skincare line that you would like to try before purchasing, tell an associate at a beauty retailer or at the brand's counter in a department store. They're often happy to send you home with a sample, says beauty stylist and makeup artist Isabella Canedo. Watch movies for free. AARP Movies for Grownups offers free screening online and in person all year long. Go to aarp.org/free movies for more information. Don't fear the chatbots. Some retailers like Walmart, Home Depot, and H&M offer 24/7 chatbots that not only answer questions about products, but also may provide tips about how to qualify for free shipping upon request. And shop for clothes off-peak. Many online retailers now use dynamic pricing, ranging prices during times of peak demand. That means that when the demand is lowest, they're likely to reduce prices. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. I do hope you've enjoyed listening. Please join me next time. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.